CBS Sports Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Moore. You can find me at MattMooreCBS. Or if you want me, find me making milk toast takes about the draft, because I've just decided that I no longer can feel confident about dishing hot takes on prospects when it's just a complete crapshoot. You can find me at HP Basketball. James Herbert is with me. He is the NBA writer for CBS Sports. You can find him at Outside the NBA. James, the draft is over. Jimmy Butler is a Timberwolf. The Bulls are terrible. How's it going?
Just another wonderful management decision from the Chicago Bulls. What is there to say about what they have done in the past year in transitioning to the post-Derrick Rose era? Just flawless execution of their plan, right?
Like, it came out like the Bulls are dealing Jimmy Butler to the Wolves. It's like, oh, hey, they finally did it. And it's like, oh, they only got LaVine and Dunn and a pick. That's not great value for Jimmy Butler.
And not even a pick, and, like, well, moving up in the draft.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, and then, like, 5 minutes later, it was, oh, yeah, and the Bulls are sending them 16. And that's when I lost it. I was like, what are you? No. You did not just give up Jimmy Butler so that you could move up 9 spots in this draft. Like, that is not. And then, I like Markkanen. But then they take Markkanen. It's like, at least give your fans, like, oh, but we're going to take the Donovan Mitchell. We're going to take Malik Monk. We're going to get you a guy that you can believe is going to be a star. Like, here's a hot take. I guess I'm just going to dish him here. I like Lauri Markkanen, but Markkanen's never going to be a star. That's not going to happen. You're never going to be like, oh, man, Markkanen, LeBron, Tuesday night, TNT. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. What are you doing? This, you know, and then Jimmy Butler's trainer goes off on Twitter and his agent, like, subtweets him, and it's just like, What a wreck. And the Timberwolves did great. They just did. Getting Patton at 16 only makes it better. Like,
would it surprise you if Patton had a better career than Markkanen?
No!
Like, absolutely not. Like, that's totally in play. I can't believe it. You know, one of the funnier moments of the draft for me was when I realized that the Bulls were selling off Jordan Bell to the Warriors.
Oh,
because when they drafted Jordan Bell, like, I looked at our colleague Matt Norlander, college basketball expert for CBS Sports, who was just like, oh, that's a really good pick. And I was like, yeah, I like Jordan Bell. Like, hey, at least the Bulls did something good, because they're going to get killed for the trade.
Nope.
And then a few minutes later, it's like, no, they're too cheap to pay the second round pick, who, like, really, like, a lot of people thought was a first round talent. And I think fits so well with the Warriors. Like, to sell him off to that team, they really didn't need any help from mediocre Eastern Conference teams, but got it anyway. It's just amazing. Like, it's unfair that the Warriors got him, and it's hilarious that the Bulls were the team that gave him away on top of everything else that happened. And look, I actually like Zach LaVine, and I see the potential in Chris Dunn too. And, like, I can talk myself into those two guys being a part of a Butler deal, but for, like, that to be the whole deal, as those two guys, and then moving up to get marketed, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, do we not understand the value of Jimmy Butler? To me, he's a top 10 player, and he's probably on a top 5 contract. Like, he's on an old CBA contract that still has 2 years left on it. You have to get something incredible back for a guy like that. He plays both ends of the floor and can, like, actually carry an offense and be a stopper on defense, and he never gets tired. He rarely gets hurt. I'm still in shock.
Just absurd. Like, here's the, Butler is on less than $20 million a year for the next 2 seasons.
And I've seen this guy score 40 points and a half in person, and I just keep thinking about that game, and I keep thinking about, like, what kind of player he generally is in, like, big moments in the playoffs. Like, he wants to be that guy. He is going to make Minnesota so much better. Like, it is, like, that team, we were already excited about the future of that team. And now you put him in Zach LaVine's spot. I go from one of the worst perimeter defenders in the league to one of the best. It's insane.
A top end defender, a leader, a tough shot maker.
Yep.
I get that the Bulls had, you know, real issues with him being a pain. I get that. And, like, those things are always a matter of who you talk to and when. Because I'm sure that Butler has a lot of things to say about how the Bulls have acted and what they've done and the moves that they've made. So it's like it's a two-way street. I don't think it's, I will say I don't usually find those things to be 100% one way. Like, usually when you hear more from one side, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that doesn't sound great. Because these people are human, and they have things that drive other people nuts, just like anybody does. But, like, at some level, you traded Jimmy Butler for just almost nothing.
If Zach LaVine was on a great deal for the next 5 years, it'd be something different.
But he's up. But see, I like LaVine too. Like, I said last year they should trade him because I was like, he's in a Harden situation. Like, I think he can be legitimately great. But here's the deal. He's going to be a free agent next summer, restricted free agent, up for a max extension, coming off of an ACL tear.
Yes.
Like
that's the thing. Like, they're going to limit their own financial flexibility by having to pay him. And you can't not pay him because you just traded Jimmy Butler for him. So bad. You're really counting on him coming back from that injury strong, and then after that, developing the parts of his game that need work. Because, I mean, he's one of the best athletes in the league. We all know that. He's maybe the best dunker ever. And he's an awesome three-point shooter. That combination is really good. But defensively, he's just been a nightmare. And I don't know that combination, if he doesn't get better defensively, I don't know that that's worth max, but that's what it's probably going to take to keep him.
They have Denzel Valentine, Cameron Payne, Isaiah Cannon, and now Chris Dunn all under contract.
Jerian Grant?
And Jerian Grant. Man, Bulls. I don't blame Bulls fans for just being livid right now. I do not blame them a bit.
No, they should be furious. It's good that they're finally rebuilding, but it's bad that this is what they did to get there.
So how far does Reisendorf, either one of them, go in not paying Dwayne Wade? Like, how much noise does Dwayne Wade have to make in order to get a buyout from his 24.5?
I don't know. I think you first try to dump him. Like, if you can, if there's something you can do, like packaging him with, like, because you don't need all those guards anymore. If you can package him with, like, Payne or Grant, like, some team thinks, okay, sure, we can just absorb that, then you do that. But I don't know if that's possible. I don't know that you have enough to be able to pull that off. So it might be a scenario where they just have to buy him out. And I don't think they do that. I mean, I would be surprised if they bought him out this summer. I think they'd probably start the year with him and see what happens. But, like, once you get to trade deadline time, if Wade is unhappy and they know that they're going to lose him in a few months anyway, I don't really see the point of keeping him. And it's so weird because it's the Bulls. It's like entirely of the Bulls' own making that they signed Wade to this deal and put themselves in this position. And you can't blame Wade for taking the money, but it's just so awkward. Like, why should he have any interest in playing for this team?
None. They should have none. There's just no reason for him to be employed by the Chicago Bulls.
I think they should trade Lopez.
Right.
I don't think there's much point in re-signing Mirotić unless you're re-signing him just to keep him as, like, a guy you can trade later. I think you just go all young. You tank. There's a couple of great prospects in next year's draft, and they're in a really good position to be terrible, if that makes sense. Like, they could be one of the worst teams in the league. Especially if they shed a couple of their other veterans. Like, I mean, Taj Gibson's already gone. There's no reason for Rondo to be there. And you can get value for Robin Lopez, I think. To me, if I were the Bulls, I'd just go completely all in on the young guys and just tank this season. And then this trade can kind of pay off. Because the payoff now, what they got back from Butler, is, like, okay. It's not good. The good thing would be if they end up with a number one or number two pick in next year's draft because of it, to me.
Right. Okay, so are the Wolves going to make the playoffs next year? We thought they would last year. They didn't. Are they going to make it next year?
I would be very surprised if they didn't. I think
you
it's
guarantee
also a little early.
Do it. You don't guarantee anything. Guarantee it.
I'll guarantee it once we see the rest of their free agency moves because we don't know what's happening with Rubio. We don't know if they're going to, like, what free agents they're going to sign. The bench was an issue last year, right? So it's like, are they going to get somebody like a Taj Gibson or a Patrick Patterson or like an Mbamute or Drew Holiday, or probably not, well, they might get Drew Holiday, but I was thinking of Justin Holiday. And then what happens at point guard? Like, do they trade Rubio and go after a George Hill or a Drew Holiday? They might not even have enough money to do so, but maybe they do that. Maybe they look to get like a Patty Mills at point guard instead of Rubio because they're so scared of what the spacing is going to look like with this team right now. I think there are too many questions, to guarantee it, but I think based on just that, the core of what they have now, like even if you're not including Rubio, even if you're just looking at Towns, Wiggins and Butler, it should be a playoff team, right? Like I think it will be.
I think it should be. They're gonna be a lot of fun to watch. I think more than anything, my only concern is kind of the offense, where it's like we've seen so much of this before from, like we've seen Tibbs and Jimmy Butler before. So you know, like, can they be better than that? You know, is the offense gonna be like, will they move the ball, or is it just
because they need to?
Yeah, or is it just gonna be, you know, more of like Tibbs' ball? How's that gonna work? That's kind of my question.
I mean, Butler and Wiggins are both kind of ISO players. And, you know, they've tried to develop Wiggins as a pick-and-roll guy. Butler's a really good pick-and-roll guy.
Yeah, there's a lot on Wiggins now because, like, part of it is, like, Wiggins is going to have to, like, prove it now. Like, Wiggins is going to have to prove it because, you know, they know, you know, you can win with Jimmy Butler. And, you know, I think you know you can win with Karl Anthony Towns. And we don't know if you can win with Andrew Wiggins as your third guy. And how is he going to, adapt to being a third guy? How is he going to adapt to that? These are all questions I think are really interesting going into it.
I think it's also how fast Wiggins and Towns become the defenders that they can be, right? Because, like, Towns showed progress at the end of last year for sure. Like real legit progress. But before that, he kind of didn't know where to be. And, like, can he be consistent in that area? And can Wiggins be consistent, like, off the ball? Can this team defense actually be, like, connected and together like Thibodeau wants it to be? Because, you know, Rubio's fine, you know, Butler will be fine, but there's no guarantee that this team is going to be on a string and be that much better than they were last year, because the communication last year was just really bad, and that's a big reason why they were so inconsistent. I understand the concerns about spacing and the offense, and I think those are real. It'll take time for them to kind of get used to playing with each other. But I think there's enough talent there that should work itself out in between now and the end of the season, especially with a guy like Rubio running the show if he's still there, just because he's such a genius. So my real question is, like, what with all that, like, length and talent defensively, will it actually be like top 15, top 10 defense in the league? I don't know if that'll happen in year one. With Jimmy Butler.
You know, you mentioned for the Bulls that they're going to be, you know, if they try hard, if they really get aggressive, they can be the worst team in the league and tank and get the number one pick.
Yeah.
So Bulls fans should definitely get their tickets now. Get those season tickets now. And if you want to get those tickets to see the worst team in the league, you know where you should get them, James?
SeatGeek.
SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing like being in the building for that favorite musician or band or person or team, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. Like I said the other day, I was at the grocery store. I'm going to buy these tickets that I thought was going to be a good deal, but I was like, this sounds high. So I checked SeatGeek and got much better tickets for this baseball game. Just a few taps and you get it done. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you identify the best seats to fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate, $20 back, just by listening to this podcast. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code I today. That's promo code I, E-Y-E, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, let's do grades. I've come to think are lame. They're just overdone. Let's do 5-star reviews. Let's Yelp this thing. Let's Yelp with no sponsorship money behind it. Let's Yelp the NBA draft, okay? Let's start.
Shout out to Yelp.
Let's start with the Philadelphia 76ers.
I mean, can you give them anything less than a 5-star review on this?
What did you think of the rest of their draft? I was a little bit caught up writing winners and losers, so I'm trying to get kind of caught up on it.
I love Bolden. Yeah. I don't know if he's actually going to play for them next season. It seems like there's a little bit of confusion over what's going to happen with his contract, because I think it's a 2-year deal, but I think he doesn't, like, I think he wants to just come over right away. But I think it's probably better off for the Sixers if they don't have to give him a roster spot. So it's a little, up in the air as to what's going to happen there. But I think regardless of when he comes over, like, that was a first round talent. I did not think they were going to be able to get him. So, of course, for a team like that, if you can stash a good player, even if he is there, like, that's awesome. And then Fultz, I mean, we've talked about it. He's the guy. He just fits in so well.
Well, does having to trade for it take away a little bit of it?
Eh, not to me. I mean, I get that. Like, I think with Ainge coming out and declaring, we would have taken Jason Tatum number one, we got this extra pick, then, like, there's a way to look at it as, like, well, why'd they give up that extra pick then? Ainge was just going to take Tatum number one, and then maybe Fultz would have just slipped, or they could have taken Ball instead. Like, I think they identified who was the top player in the draft, and they went and got him. And they gave up a good asset to do so, but I think it was absolutely worth it. I think the payoff is worth it. That doesn't take any of the excitement out of it for me.
I thought it was interesting. Three analytics people I talked to around the league yesterday told me that Ball was higher on their models than Fultz. And that was consistent with what the media ones were too. Like Pelton had Fultz, had Ball.
Yeah, higher. Pelton. Yeah.
Yeah, like, so I thought that was interesting that Ball grades out so much higher than Fultz. And, you know,
I think it's because if you're scouting them, like, Ball has obvious weaknesses that Fultz doesn't.
Yeah.
But if you're just looking at analytics and efficiency, then Ball tops out.
Right. Okay, so Lakers.
I this is so boring. I'm just going to give him 5 again.
I'll give him a 4.
4?
I'll give him a 4. Right. I think Ball comes with complications. I do. I think Ball does.
But what about Josh Hart, though? That's a steal.
Yeah, that was a good pick. 4.5 stars? Yes.
Yeah, let's agree 4.5. That's fine.
4.5 stars.
4.5.
Because I don't think Ball is a can't miss. I think even with the kind of some of the concerns over his maturity, that I still think that Fultz is as close to a can't miss as you're going to.
Yeah.
So I'm not.
I love Lonzo though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just really excited about watching that team.
It could be really.
And
fun.
I think he has the perfect coach for it. Like, he has the perfect coach. Like, everything about what Luke Walton believes in, and how he wants his basketball teams to play. Like that. Like, Ball is the guy. He loves passing more than anything else on the court, and he likes to run. It's a perfect fit to me.
Okay, so
I will say, I'm just going to ruin this for the next, like, 7 picks. Like, they're all good fits. Like, I really think the team's got what they needed. I don't think we're going to be super critical of anything in the top 10 aside from Markkanen.
Yeah,
but
I
shouldn't be speaking for you.
I can't give the Celtics anything lower because Tatum is 3rd on my board. I thought Jason Tatum was the 3rd best talent in this draft, and so I really can't get on to him about that. So, I will go ahead and give the Celtics. I'm gonna give the Celtics a. No, I gotta give them a 3.5. They traded the number 1 pick. I'm sorry. They traded the number 1 pick. You trade the number 1 pick when your entire thing is like trying to. I don't know. I'll say they're definitely. I'm gonna give them a 3-star because they didn't make a trade.
Well, what if the trade comes after they get Gordon Hayward?
Man, everyone's begging on this. If in the first 24 hours Hayward comes back, like, there's a good chance he goes there. Like, everyone believes that Boston's
gonna. I'm not saying they're gonna get him.
No, but everyone's banking a lot on it. Like, everyone's saying this. Like, well, Celtics fans are like, well, when? And most people are like, well, if they get Hayward. I'm like, I don't know about banking on this, man. Like, he's got a good thing in Utah. He's got a good thing in Utah and can make more money. Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I think that there's a reason there's so much conversation about it. But
yeah,
I just think that it's very popular or possible that he doesn't.
And I don't want him to leave Utah. Like, I love that Jazz team.
Yeah, they can get bad in a hurry. Although Donovan Mitchell was a great pick. They did. We'll get to them, but they did really well.
I just think it's premature to judge them on not making a pick.
Right.
Because there's still so many options for that team. I'll give them a four. What I like about it is, like, I just admire how bold they are. Yeah. I admire that they have a vision. I like that they're confident in their evaluation of players and that they were able to do that trade and say, we're going to get our guy and then we're going to get another awesome pick out of it. I think, it's a luxury of Danny Ainge having great job security, but it also speaks to that front office and the confidence that it has in itself. And I think there probably weren't a ton of teams that had Tatum number one, but I think when you look at what he could be, if he realizes all his upside, and if you look at the way the Celtics roster is constructed, if they really believe that he's going to be like the best version of Jason Tatum, then that guy is a superstar scorer, which, like, a superstar scorer who can play the three and the four and take pressure off of Isaiah Thomas and draw double teams and be a go-to guy in the clutch, like that is worth the number one pick. So the way I see it is, even if I am not sold, even if I have serious doubts about Tatum, I admire, like, the courage of their convictions to go and get that done and say, he is going to fit in. We're going to make him the best player he can be, and he's going to be dominant. And I think that's the plan. I think they're still going to try to get guys who are established, and that Tatum can learn from, whether it's Hayward or Butler, whoever else becomes available, if it's Anthony Davis or whatever other crazy name that people want to bring up, they're still going to go after those guys. But I don't think there's anything wrong with them trying to, like, develop somebody into one of those guys. And I think if you're looking at a Josh Jackson, you're probably thinking more he's going to be like a super 3-and-D type if he ever fixes a shot. I think, I mean, if you look at Tatum, you're kind of aiming higher as, like, a franchise scorer.
Suns, Josh Jackson.
I have nothing bad to say about that pick. I like, on my personal board, I had him higher than Tatum.
This is why the 5-star review is best, though, right? Because, like, there's lots of restaurants where I'm like, I don't have anything bad to say about him, but I'm also not like, this restaurant's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I it's 4 stars to me. I think
there
it fits with what they're building.
There you go.
He fits.
I'm telling you.
He fits with. What would you have it for?
Yeah, I'll have it at 4. I mean, if anybody's going to take him, because it's just like, look. Although I will say, now I'm rethinking it. I'll go 4 because he is a really talented guy, and there's such upside there. I think it is interesting, though, that for me, the way that I was able to kind of think, like, okay, he could be good, was when I started to think about him as a small ball 4. And they got a lot of 4s on that team. They got lots of 4s on that there team. So
what if Bender's a 5?
Then maybe it's okay.
What if Chris can play some 5?
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us?
Down the line.
I'm dropping Joan Osborne references on this here podcast.
Yes.
It's in my wheelhouse.
Yes.
So, you know.
It's all about versatility, man. I don't think it, like, I get what you're saying. But I think they've gone after guys that can, they can just kind of slot them wherever.
Right.
Like if Jackson is playing you probably don't want him playing 2, but if he is, it's not necessarily a disaster. He can guard 2s. And then the 3 or the 4, it's sort of interchangeable these days. And I think that's how they'll use him. And Chris is kind of a 4 or 5. Bender is kind of a 4 or 5. Warren might be strictly a 4. But I don't think you can have enough guys that can play multiple positions, is how I put it.
The Kings with Jonathan Isaac at 6. Or, I'm sorry, the
Wait,
Kings, to
Kings
Fox.
With De'Aaron Fox. Yeah.
I'll give that one a 4-star. It was a pretty obvious pick. It was just a good pick. The Kings, well, I'll say this. The Kings overall get a 5-star review for the draft.
Yeah, no, let's do overall, man. Like, I think they were one of the big winners of the draft.
They were. I had them as a winner last night. They were great. They got such good value at every spot, too.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know if Harry Giles is going to work out. And I don't know. I don't really know what I think about Justin Jackson. But they got those guys at good value. And if Giles, like, if they hit on Giles, they could hit, like, an absolute home run there. Like, that's one of the, like,
you know, high risk, high reward guys in the draft. And to be able to acquire an extra pick to take another swing at a guy like that, that's precisely what they should be doing. Like, this is a Kings team that is going to be bad for quite a while. And they might as well get as many picks as they can and take as many shots at this as they can. And that's why I think Giles was a great guy to take a chance on. I think Fox, you know, I did a story on Tatum last night, I did a story on Fox last night. I think with Fox, he's just like the perfect guy for that team and that franchise and that culture. He actually wants to be there. He can be the sort of like forward facing, like talking to the media, marketable guy, that they need. And then the fact that he actually fits with Hield and he has a relationship with Scal and with Collie Stein from Kentucky, like those are all kind of bonuses to me. I think they've been searching for their point guard for so long. Even when they had a great point guard in Isaiah Thomas, they didn't realize it because they were silly. But like now they've actually got their guy, and I think there's star potential there. And I don't think the floor is that low either, because even if the shot isn't great, I think he can be a good pick and roll point guard and a guy that can push the pace and do all that. So I like Fox as a prospect, and I love the Kings draft, and it's crazy how much different that Cousins trade looks now. Like, we all murdered them for it. And I'm not saying they got back great value, but I think the fact that Hield was as good as he was in the second half of the season, the fact that it opened up room for Collie Stein and Labissiere to take, like, really significant strides for them, and then turning that pick into two picks, like, that's just, like, actually, like, smart management of a team that's rebuilding. And we're going to make fun of them and call them a joke when they're being stupid. We should praise them when they're being smart.
Right. I agree. I think they did really well. The Magic with Jonathan Isaac, our guy.
5 stars.
just for taking that one.
It's 5 stars, man. I love that guy. He was number 3 on my board.
So
the Magic should be like the prospect of pairing him with Aaron Gordon is awesome. Like, I just love it.
As a small ball 5, right? That's how you see it?
As a small ball 5, eventually. But I think right now, it probably wouldn't be. They just play together, kind of interchangeably. Right now, Gordon might be the small ball 5 in that lineup, right? Because he's stronger.
Man. Woo! That is some tiny, tiny basketball that we were talking about playing.
Hey, we've seen it.
Yeah. Alright, so I agree. We talked about the Bulls. One star for the Bulls.
Do we have to give him a star?
A half star. Peter Travers at Rolling Stone gave the new Transformers movie no stars, and I've never seen that from him. It was amazing.
Let's do that. Let's the Transformers of the draft.
The Transformers.
Why do we have to give them a half star? You gotta earn half stars around here.
You gotta earn a star. You don't just get stars. Unless you're the Warriors.
You just give stars away for nothing.
Unless you're the Warriors. Then you get stars all over the place. Frank Ntilikina, New York Knicks. You took him in the mock draft.
I just thought this was obvious. Triangle point guard. Defensive guy.
Is it a 3-star just because they're still running the triangle? Is that fair?
I think it's a 4-star because they didn't trade Kristaps.
Ooh, I like it. I like that. 4-star draft because they didn't trade Kristaps. Good.
Which, like, I admit is setting the bar very low. But that's where we are with the Knicks. There were people wearing, like, jerseys that said, like, don't trade above.
Right.
Like, the words don't trade were above Porzingis. There were a lot of people in Porzingis jerseys last night.
Mavericks and Dennis Smith Jr., who basically, like, cost Drew Holiday a lot of money last night.
Because the Mavs
are like, we're going all in with Dennis Smith and just Drew Holiday's money just like, whoa, just started winding down.
Wasn't this also in our mock draft?
Yeah, I like it. He's tough. He gives him a great attitude. They'll like his approach. I think the Mavericks, when they draft, they tend to draft well, although they've had some bombs, but even the bombs were like weird. They've drafted weird players where it's like they start off really well and then just like their careers fall apart. So, we'll see. But
Rookie of the year?
Right. Wait.
I think he's rookie of the year. Yeah.
Wow. That's bold. I won't go that far.
If he's starting on that team and running a pick and roll every time down, he's going to get stats.
Well, what you're forgetting here is that Rick Carlisle is a destroyer of punk arts. So,
well, he didn't destroy Yogi Ferrell and Seth Curry last year.
Well, they played well. It's not that they play badly, that's the thing, but they just wind up being really sad and hating life a lot of the time. Like, that's the thing.
I don't think those two guys did. I think in the past, yes, there have been point guards who hated life. I don't think that's going to happen to Dennis Smith. Though, I mean, if you look at the way he plays defense, there's a case to be made that that could happen rather quickly. I just look at his offense and the system that they run, and I'm like, this is a perfect fit. He's just, it's going to be like Linsanity. He's just going to run pick and rolls every time. And he's quick, and he'll either score or he'll kick it out to somebody. Like, I really like the fit.
I think it's great. The Blazers were interesting. That move up was interesting. I liked it.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
Yeah?
I guess they just decided that, like, they had a target in mind. And they went and they got Collins.
Yeah, you're not a Collins guy, right?
I mean, I kind of don't know what to make of him. Like, I'm not sure I see star potential there. If he ends up being a good role player, that's fine. Value at 10. I'm just not sure that's worth trading, like, two shots at, like, a, you know, high upside guy at 15 and 20.
Hornets with Malik Monk.
Love that.
I will give the Hornets a... Yeah, I give him a 4-star. He fell to him, but
yeah,
they took him. You know, I feel bad for Donovan Mitchell who slid, but, you know, good for Monk.
He could be really good. Like him playing next to Kemba, like, defensively, that's not ideal, but, like, that backcourt will get buckets.
Yeah.
Like, that will be really hard to defend.
I think we're going to see more moves. They got a lot. They got some weird stuff going on because, like, do you play MKG at 4? Probably not, right?
I don't mind playing him at 4.
Okay, so are you?
But I'm Mr. Small Ball, so.
So are you bringing? Are you bringing Zeller off the bench? Are you bringing Dwight off the bench? That's what you're doing, aren't you?
No, I mean, you. I think you have to. I think Zeller's the backup 5.
Okay. All right, so Zeller's the backup.
Which, like, is weird because, like, he might actually be better than Dwight Howard at this stage, depending on what you're looking for.
And Frank Kaminsky is the backup 4.
I mean, this is where it's weird.
That's
like,
what I'm
saying. I think the Howard trade did not lead me to believe that they have that much confidence in Frank Kaminsky. Maybe they still do. And maybe they want to play him and Zeller together. Like, I'm not sure. I think there is a weird logjam in the front court, but they saw an opportunity when Howard was available and they're just deciding to figure the rest out later. So yeah, maybe there will be moves. Maybe there'll be kind of a fluid front court rotation where they play two bigs more than most teams do. I'm not sure.
Detroit Pistons get 1 star. I don't like Luke Kennard. Never liked him. Do not like him.
Think he's one not, star.
1 star. Do not think, like, that's my lone take. And this means that Luke Kennard will probably wind up being like Klay Thompson or something. Or JJ Redick.
I didn't like Klay Thompson as a prospect. I admit it. Really? I did not see it.
Really?
Yeah.
What didn't you
like,
see?
There was, I didn't see the defense. If you told me coming out of college he was going to be one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA, I would not have believed you at all.
Yeah, these things are not linear. Like, that's why it's like, sometimes I wonder, like, how valuable is scouting? Like, how much can you really tell?
My thing with Kennard, like, I can't give it a 1. Like, I'll give it, like, a 3 stars, because, like, I'm not excited about it, but, like, I know he can shoot. I know he can do the one thing that they want him to do. Whether he'll be able to be the sort of scorer that he was in college, I don't know. Whether he'll be able to survive defensively, I don't know. And I hate doing the Duke white guy comparison. I'm really mad at myself for what I'm about to say, but this is the Pistons, right?
Right.
Stan Van Gundy made JJ Redick sit on the bench until he could play defense. He made him sit on the bench. He wouldn't let him play. JJ was miserable. He demanded a trade. They didn't trade him. They kept him. They developed him into a good defensive player, especially chasing around shooting guards off the ball. And then that was the basis for his long and great career. And I'm not saying the same thing will be done here. I'm just saying I like that Van Gundy is his coach. That is what I will say.
Fair enough. That's fair. Utah Jazz, I think, the Utah Jazz get 4.5 stars from me. I love the Donovan Mitchell pickup. It's such a great value pick. They gave up Lyles, who was terrible last year. I liked it immediately for Denver, and then the more I thought about it, I was like, oh, this really gets bad and bad and bad, and then worse and then worse and then worse.
Well, it depends what you think about Lyles, right? Because he showed a lot of promise in his first year.
Yep.
And he kind of got lost in the shuffle last year. And if he ends up, like, making good on his potential, that's like a stretch four with off-the-dribble stuff that can guard multiple positions. Like, that could be a really good player. But I think it says something, and it says something not great, that the Jazz were able to, were thinking, okay, we can move on after two seasons. We, like, this is a sunk cost. That's not awesome. But, I mean, Mitchell is great. And as insurance for George Hill, it makes a lot of sense. But I still think they need to keep George Hill.
Denver was pretty disappointed last night. They were very close to what I understand were two significant deals that they just couldn't close the door on it. And it wasn't that they wouldn't give up stuff. Like, that's kind of been the story this morning, is that they wouldn't give up certain things. But it was like they had a deal without those pieces, and they could not close the door on it because the other teams just wouldn't commit. They were really excited about the moves that they were preparing for. So, rough one for them.
So they're in the same place they've been for the past 3 years.
Yep, trying to make a deal, can't find one.
Yep,
stuff.
Yep.
All right. The Heat kind of reached a little bit. I thought Bam was a reach. I did not have him that high.
Did you see the quote from Pat Riley talking about Bam hitting a ton of three-pointers in his workout?
No.
I mean, I did not see that one coming. He was saying, like, in the workout, Bam just hit a whole ton of threes, and that's something that he expects will become part of his game in the next couple of years as he develops. And when I read that, I was like, all right, sure. I guess I understand it now. Like, I was like, all right, so they drafted a smaller Whiteside. Maybe Whiteside isn't going to stay there forever, and he's the next guy, and he can just kind of play behind him for now. But I mean, I saw no signs of him becoming a stretch five, but if that's what Riley sees, then sure, go for it.
Sure, like, why not?
2.5 stars, 3 stars, I don't know.
We talked about the Blazers. Anything else in the draft night you kind of want to talk about? Anything else that kind of stands out as far as the rest of the guys?
The Warriors getting Jordan Bell?
No, gosh. 4 stars.
Hey, OG Anunoby, the steal. OG Anunoby, the steal of the draft, number 23.
Why would you? Oh, well.
Come on.
No, I heard really concerning things about the medical report. And maybe they're wrong. And maybe he'll be fine. I'm just saying, I'm not willing to be like, it's a steal. Like, there was enough concerns. People were very concerned about
it. If he is ever healthy.
Yeah, if he's healthy, but health is a question mark, right?
If he is ever healthy, he is probably the best defensive prospect in the whole draft. Can literally guard 1 to 5, like the same way Draymond can. I'm not saying he's like the smartest help defender in the history of the NBA like Draymond Green is, but in terms of versatility, like that is there.
Right.
The offense, I mean, I don't know about his shot. He could shoot in high school. He couldn't really shoot very well in college. I think his... Again, the if he's healthy thing, like he showed enough athleticism that he should be able to be like a dive man and a pick and roll. He can really leap. So, you know, I loved him. I thought he was like a top 10 prospect. When the mock draft started showing him falling and falling and falling, it was clear it was because of a health issue, not because of his actual ability. So look, I think in the past, you've seen the Raptors do like some different things in the draft. Like I think with a guy like Bruno, it's just like, we're going to take this big swing and it'll either work or it won't. And then with a guy like Poeltl, it's like, okay, well, we know that he'll at least be like a quality rotation player. It's kind of a, not a big risky move, but not one that has like crazy all-star potential either. I think this was more in the mold of Bruno, which is like, we're lucky that we have a chance to draft him because he has health concerns. So we're just going to take him and hope that those concerns are addressed or whatever. I don't know when he'll be ready to play. I know he didn't work out for anyone. He just had interviews with teams because he's still recovering. But like, if you just look at his tape, like there's a lot to be excited about there.
Do you have thoughts on the Josh Jackson not working out for the Celtics?
I'm so confused by this. I did a story on his comments at Media Day for the draft where he was talking up Boston about how he was totally open to working out there. It was just that when they had the number one pick, he and his agent thought they weren't seriously considering him there. And then when they moved down to three, it was like they were all about it. And he would love to play with Jaylen Brown, who he knows and he's spoken to and he's friends with. And he thinks that he could learn from their older guys and he'd fit in with the personality of the team. And it was just like raving about Boston. And then we have Danny Ainge saying like he thought maybe Jackson didn't want to play there and he was mad because they flew to Sacramento. He canceled the workout. So in retrospect, all of Jackson's comments from the media day seem like a desperate attempt to like show the Celtics that, oh, I actually do like you, because clearly something different was communicated beforehand, whether intentionally or unintentionally, from Jackson.
Weird. Very weird. And then,
very
like, and not surprising at all that Ainge would not take him then, because Ainge is all about, like, you better respect, like, the Celtics' legacy. Like, that is his bag. So.
Also, I think they just liked Tatum the whole way. Like, that was the other thing. Like, people globbed onto what Ainge said on a radio interview and what he said to the press in Boston, but there was a different radio interview from Rich Gotham from last night, like right after the selection. He went on the Sports Hub in Boston and he said, we've had him at the top of our board for a long time on Tatum. And I put that quote in my story because that stood out to me. It's like, this wasn't just like, oh, like they thought Markel was number one. And then all of a sudden they like talked to him and they weren't impressed with him. And like, they were disappointed with like the psychological test they did or something, and all of a sudden Tatum shot up. Like it really sounds like they've just wanted Tatum for a long time, and they've thought that was their guy, that was their fit. So I'm like, they could be lying. There's no reason to take these comments at face value all the time, but I'm not sure that the workout with Jackson was the deciding factor here.
Interesting. So we thought, we kind of asked, like, is it going to be a quiet draft? Is it going to be crazy because it was so crazy the last week? And it was kind of in the middle. Like, Jimmy Butler got traded, and that's a thing.
Jimmy Butler got traded. That's crazy.
However,
he's a top 10 player.
However, two executives I talked to were kind of confused. They were like, it was madness for a week. For an entire week, everyone's talking, and no one can stop talking, and everyone's doing all this crazy stuff. And then all of a sudden, it just went quiet. He's like, the draft started, and everyone stopped talking. Like, it was just dead silent. It was very confusing.
So weird. I think everybody falls in love with their own picks right at the end.
They do. They do. People really fall in love. Like, and that's where I keep getting to on the Jimmy Butler stuff. Is it's just like, are you gonna find a better player than Jimmy Butler in this draft? Is that maybe? You know, like the Sixers may have, and maybe another player is better than Jimmy Butler. It's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's weird.
I will say, like, as much as I've defended the Celtics continuing to keep their options open, like, maybe they'll get PG, maybe they'll get Hayward.
Yeah. It's
like, there was, like, just me and the rest of the world, when the Butler trade went down, the first thought is, like, how did the Celtics not get him?
Right.
Like, they have so many more assets.
Yeah, like, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for, man? You know? I feel like I'm Hamilton with Burr. What are you waiting for, man? Come on! Let's go! Let's go! Alright. That'll wrap up the CBS Sports NBA basketball podcast. That's James Herbert. You can find him at Outside the NBA. I'm Matt Moore. You can find me at Matt Moore CBS. Make sure to let us know what you think of the show. And James, I'm going on vacation on Monday. I'm very excited. Vacation for me. So you will have podcasts, and the listeners will have a much different, and by different, I mean better, experience next week with you in charge. So everyone should enjoy James. James, have yourself a great weekend.
The pod will continue. Things are going to get weird. Thanks, Matt.